Welcome to the Pastors for Punts TV studio. Your host, Joy Brown, and our CEO is Joseph Collins. We thank you for being visitors on our talk show. And we thank you, all of those who have supported us, even our investors. All is well, and we're looking for greater and bigger things that the Lord is doing. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. I like that. I'm asking God, I'm praying, I pray. That's what I beseech thee means. Jehovah, Jehovah, I pray, send now prosperity. And that's what he's doing. Jesus asks and he shall receive, seek and he shall find, knock and the door will be open. This is a great day for prosperity. Listen, we are so happy again to have a guest on yesterday that came on with Larry Broussard. Let's give him a hand. We are waiting with great expectations to continue our topic on this week is not all pastors too. And just a little bit, he is the CEO and the principal consultant. Again, the address is 5348 Crenshaw Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 323-348-4900. His website is itisllc.com. It is llc.com. The Intelligent Technology Integration Solution, LLC. Now, this company, because we are interviewing pastors, he has a history also of his dynamic teaching ministry as a pastor. So that means he still is. He's one of the fivefold ministry, but in addition to that gift that God has given him, he has excelled also in the IT business. And we did talk to him on yesterday, but let's just bring our guests on the line today and begin from where we were on yesterday about our entrepreneur. This guy is just phenomenal with his skills and what he has planned for our people, the community. Are you in the hood, Larry?
Yes, I'm in the hood, Joy. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's okay. You got to have some fun. Listen, it's so good again to have you here. I know you, just like your business is going strong, but it's going to another level, and that's why you're here today to just share with the people what you have in your hand and how it's going to be such a benefit to the urban community. So we're going to go and just going to talk about I know on yesterday we were talking about who you're going to serve. I'll just start from right there because I'm reading your flyer, and I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, in the hood for the good, delivering Fortune 500 level vision and solutions to and for otherwise unserved urban and rural communities. And, of course, we talk about the mom and pop shop because we were talking about yesterday when I asked you, with all these businesses are transferring their clients and things overseas, how is it that you is going to be able to maintain that level of, that's a level of integrity, a level of business right in the global area where we are, and you did go into that yesterday. So what we see now is what technology advancement are driving an urban, rural, global change. Go into that a little bit with us so we can get an understanding what we're looking for.
Well, in a nutshell, probably within the IT market space, the only areas, the only markets that really have not really taken advantage of the expansion and growth of information technology is the urban centers of our cities and the rural areas, because the resources aren't there to support economic growth. And that's an ongoing problem. You know, one of the problems we have in urban communities, especially in the Black community, is very few opportunities, and not just for, you know, a job, but even capital and so forth for the small businesses who live here. So the idea is that, you know, information technology in and of itself is a world that creates a lot of economic opportunity. So it is in the hood to help bring IT in the hood and hopefully leverage IT to make lives better. You know, individuals getting jobs or, you know, families getting better IT solutions to help manage budgets, or in entrepreneurs, you know, going in and starting their own business that mirrors some of the things that IT does. The idea is that IT, information technology, can drive change if given the chance. Now, up to now, nobody has brought any kind of IT resources in. All they have are things that you can buy online, you know, and you just become another consumer. But for IT
right,
to make
exactly.
a difference, yeah, real difference, and a business has to be here, and it needs to plant, and it needs to generate economic activity, not just in terms of the money it makes, but the money
right.
it ends up redistributing through jobs. So that's what we're trying to do, make a difference with IT in the hood for the good.
Now, I know on here it says next level technical expertise, and you have quite a few certificates and certifications and things like that now. And I know in our community, it's so many, and I'll address the issue right now because we're talking about educating our people, and you know the mass amount of our people that are incarcerated. And I hopefully, I'm assuming, and I know they do, they have skills that they're preparing them for in that environment, but not for coming outside. So are you going to be able to leverage that out? Any men being incarcerated, you know, so many people on the street? Because, you know, right now, the way it depicts our people as though we're going backwards, not forward in our lifestyle. So how do you justify what you're saying to be able to bring our people to where they need to be?
Therein lies the challenge. And it's not just an economic challenge. It's a spiritual challenge as well. Too many of people who look like me, you know, have come to just simply ignore and disregard church in their lives. And they end up living lives that are, well, to state it plainly, uncouth and lacking discipline.
Yeah.
And call it like it is. You know, most of these adults running around and acting like they don't have good sense are children that never grew up and never learned to take on moral responsibility, much less salvation, you know, from sin. They don't even know how to. You remember the movie Life, they had the guy Can't Get Right? We just got too many people in our community that just can't get right. So that, you know, it's a spiritual challenge as well. But I still believe, you know, with this type of presence in the hoods, you know, and always interacting and mixing and mingling with people where they are, it gives people a chance to see a different spiritual dynamic in place in my life. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The idea is we need more people in the hood doing good works. And
yeah, you know what?
Operating through them.
Yes, you're right. That's why this question, I mean, the topic is what it is. Not all pastors are in the pulpit, because our people are going to need something a little bit more structure instead of coming into a building now. That used to be the form of bringing our people in, but it's not. That's not it now. We are really going to have to go out. And also, that's what evangelizing is. You call it if that's what we want to say, but it's still in the workplace. They're not coming into the church. Matter of fact, a lot of Manilians are streaming, so the building is becoming a deflated place to be.
That's correct.
I'm sorry
that's
to say
correct.
That, but it is. Huh?
But on the other hand, technology is expanding footprints, and the opportunity to reach the masses are exponential in terms of using technology for ministry.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Mhm.
So
but the point remains.
Mm-hmm.
We're challenged spiritually in our communities, and so
even when
we're bringing in great ideas that can help and make a difference in people's lives, people need to want to have a difference made in their lives.
Right.
And that only starts with God.
Exactly. Yes. So another thing I was thinking about when I put a topic out there on my Facebook, it's just to stir up the mind of our people, because we are on Facebook. That's just one of the tools that's been given us now to track us. Unfortunately, huh?
I'm not going to comment on that.
But listen, well, the jobs are using it. Track you down to see what you're doing on the weekend, see where you are. The credit card.
There's so many different things that they're able to do nowadays. You know, people don't even realize it, but your cell phone tells where you are at all times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have technology that does facial recognition. If a picture of you comes across, you know, they can identify it's you because they have so many pictures of you. You know, just lot of different things.
Oh, God, yes. So there's a lot of the technology is good, but it's not used for what you think is used. It's being used for. It's not to bring you to a high-tech area. Oh, now we got something we can just work with. And no, it's government regulated, federal, state, nationwide, international tracking device on whoever you are. Location. I sometimes have my phone, and I don't even push location, and location is on it. I'm here shopping in the Ralph, and what do you think about Ralph when you left out of there? I'm like, what?
Yeah, and that's the
off,
pinpoint
you know?
Where you are. That's
don't ask
what it
me
does.
What I was
the
doing.
At where you are.
Yeah, how the food was. Like, I'm not asking whether I'm not that important. Why are you tracking me? But anyway, but that's what you are. IT. That's exactly what you're saying. It's going to be able to do so many things that we haven't
that's
even recognized.
Right.
I made a statement that says about your pastor. I said, where is your pastor hanging out? And of course, most of our minds go to the extreme. Well, he ain't in the pulpit. He might be in the other places that we don't want to think he's at. You know, of course, that's the hot topic. But he might be somewhere generating some type of business so he can have contact with other that need the ministry that are not coming in. There's pastors doing a whole lot outside of the pulpit and talking to a whole lot of people that we have no clue how he's mingling. There was a pastor, he's deceased, Billy Ingram, Maranatha, and he said he had two jobs, two business. One he really just had a passion for, not that he didn't have a passion for ministering and building God's kingdom, but he had a passion for photography. So he was everywhere. He has pictures of when he took pictures with President Obama, and he didn't even have the proper pass, press media release, and they let him in. You know, just places that your pastor may be, that he's able to touch other people's hearts outside of where you are. So you don't know where he might be at, what he might be doing. You know, just because he's not
that's
in the pulpit doesn't mean that he's not ministering.
Yes.
So
you know,
we have to open
Mitchell
up our hearts and our minds. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I was just going to say, you mentioned a very close personal friend of our family, Pastor Ingram. I remember him when he first accepted the Lord in his life. It came through the ministry of my brother, my oldest brother, and this was back in the 70s.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't get a chance really to interact with him because I was on the East Coast while he was here on the West Coast, and when I returned, he had passed away. But that's a classic example of how God would just put you in situations so that you're his mouthpiece wherever you are. And that's why, you know what, I would raise serious concern about anybody who would pass judgment on where their pastor may or may not be or going or not going, because you don't know where or why God has the man of God doing or going where he's going. And so that's why Jesus just reminds us, just judge not. You don't know.
Yes.
So don't act
you don't
like you
know.
Do. See, but it's that same kind of judge mentality, you know. You know, everybody's sitting in God's jury, and they got to make a call on everything everybody does.
Right.
And that, you know, that's just, it's against what God calls for us to do. He said love.
That's right.
You got to do anything love, not judge.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Well,
it just pastors
the
aren't
lifestyle.
Just in the pulpit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just depicts the lifestyle of Jesus, you know, of course. He was in places that the Pharisees could no way accept and didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you with them, you know, the tax collector, you know, how is that him? He's a thief, you know, and all the other disciples that he had recruited.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? That Zacchaeus, you know, he had to come, some of him out the tree. He looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on down,
mm-hmm.
Lord. Let me go to your house.
But
Zacchaeus,
you know, was short, so you know he was physically challenged. Yeah,
yeah,
but the Lord,
like me.
The essential message is that God meets you where you are.
Right.
See,
exactly.
And one of the challenges churches have now is the only time the Christians that operate in that church or operating as Christians from that church is when the doors are open. And then they lead whatever, you know, they're doing in between. So then, you know, their service to the Lord simply becomes Sunday morning worship, Tuesday afternoon prayer, and Wednesday Bible study, and that's all it is. And what what saddens me more than anything else is how churches shut down all the time in between.
Yeah.
So I'm challenged, for instance, with a pastor who claims he's full-time pastoring, and the doors aren't open. But that's just me.
Yeah. Well, that's so, not
that's...
only you, because that's why pastors, quote-unquote pastors, leave and go to another city. And when a door is presented to him to preach, and then he comes back home, it becomes sometime a challenge for them to stay at home and to preach without going out.
Yes, that's true.
I'm
not going to interrupt.
No, say what you're going to say.
No, I was going to just say that, you know, we have so many pastors, you know, who are forced, you know, into full-time ministry because they can't find anything else to do. And it just speaks to the economic problems that we have in our particular communities. You know, there's no reflection on the pastors, but he got to eat too. And
The
members aren't coming to church or they're not, they don't have a giving spirit, you know, you're left.
Yes.
And, you know, you have a lot of preachers that will leave churches, going to greener pastures. And then you have other pastors who have to just split their time up between, you know, survival and ministry.
Right.
Because, you know, God does not call us to just, you know, kill ourselves to make a difference, you know. But servant is worthy of his hire. So there's so many challenges, you know, that pastors face in our communities.
Most definitely, yes, sir. Listen, hold on 1 second, and we're going to go and a commercial by E-Pastors Vander Womack. She's providing these scriptures for us, and she also supports our pastors for Punch TV Studios, so we're going to go ahead and put a commercial on here. Thank you.
This is a Queen Vander Power Nugget.
Did you know that we have to keep first things first?
First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 lets us know, I exhort, desire, instruct, therefore, that first, supplication, prayer, intercession, a coming together, a conversation, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, presidents, and all who are in authority. Why? For this is good, beautiful, honorable, in the sight, in the presence of God our Savior.
Thank you again. This is your host, Joy, in the house for Punch TV Studio with our guest today, CEO Larry Broussard. And the name of the company is It Is. Now, we are so excited to have so many people that are calling and listening to our talk show, and we're just honored. Of course, if you wanted to say or let me have a comment of just feel I will leave and come and open up the line for you. That's if you want to. But mostly, I guess, it's just they just like to listen to what the topic is all about. So, Larry, I'm
yes,
looking
ma'am.
At something, and it says, because when you're looking at a business like yours, it says building the gap on a solid foundation. And I know. I just want to put out there some of your accomplishments that we have. Now, it says 33 years experience. And just tell us about some of the places that you have been and why your soul, your desire is on your heart to do something here. And not that the headquarters in Los Angeles, but you're talking about worldwide. For what you have to offer to us.
Yeah, well, I left Los Angeles when I went to Stanford. And then basically I was on the road from that point on. I guess that was like 1975 until 2010 when I returned. And first the military took me around. When I left Stanford, I went into the Army. And that enabled me to travel to Turkey. And that was enough of an experience to open my eyes to the differences that we are blessed with in America, but also a lot of the challenges that are self-created here in America. A lot of it revolves around the racist behaviors of our society. But I got a chance to see a different side. And then when I got out of the Army, I ended up going into technology. And technology is what took me around the world, literally. I ended up going back to Europe, Brussels, London, France.
Really?
Yes. And then also in Asia, I went to some of the countries in that are, well, actually, in Turkey. Turkey is split. And many people don't know that. Part of it is in Europe and the other part is in Asia. So while I was stationed in Turkey, I actually was able to visit the Europe part, including Greece, and then the Asia part, which was just extending into Turkey, right next door to Iran and Iraq. So, and then when I was doing my technology, this was post-Army time, I ended up in Cote d'Ivoire, Cyprus, Angola twice.
Wow.
Yes. And then all over America.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of some of these places you're talking about.
Yeah, there are quite a few places. And you know what? What I find intriguing is the number of people in our community that have just simply never been past the next three blocks.
Mm-mm-mm.
And it creates a sheltered perspective on life itself. So when I returned home, I saw what technology was doing all everywhere else, so I wanted to do something here. And
wow.
It sort of the dream grew into the capability as it is today, because I didn't come with the plan to set everything up that I have, but I knew I wanted to make IT work in the hood like it works all over the world. So I'm trying to leverage it as that agent, that change agent.
That brings me to one thing, because you just, we're going to sum this particular show up today with this. A goal, it says, I'm reading something, it said a goal, to dream of scoring a goal or seeing one scored predicts new friends and new opportunities. That's what you're doing. You're seeing new people with new opportunities. That's what you're dreaming of. And it's happening with what you are bringing into existence. For it's already in your mind. It's already, you see it. It's already, like you said, a goal is something that you literally see it. It already, the end of it. Now you're putting it all together to make it happen. And it's a godly thought, because that's why God created the earth and the atmosphere, because He spoke it into existence. He didn't like think about, okay, what am I gonna do here? I'm gonna do this right here today. Now, let me think what I need to do. It wasn't even like that. He just knew. You're in a spirit of knowing what is getting ready to happen, and you want to involve other people in it.
Oh yes, no doubt. No doubt. I'm not trying to do this for myself or by myself.
Yeah. That is just phenomenal. I love it. This is coming out. It's something that we need to talk about. And it's built around what pastors are capable of doing outside of the pulpit. That's what this is about. And that's what people needed to know. Your pastor is not a pastor because he's in the pulpit. He's a pastor because he's leading people. Like the Bible said, he's a shepherd, and he's leading them into the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. And we know that's what Jesus did. It's a pastor. It's a way of life that we're living. Listen, our time is running out. Today, you have listened to, I guess, CEO Larry Broussard of It Is, that's Integrated Intelligent Technology Integrated Solutions LLC. And we're going to be here again on tomorrow again to complete this series. Not all pastors are in the pulpit. Okay, Larry, you want to say bye to your audience?
Yes, thanks, Joy, and I appreciate the opportunity you're giving me to talk about, we'll talk about God, but also talk about what It Is and what we're all about, and to show how, you know, the work of the church and the work, the mission of ministry is people. And when we forget about that part and start focusing on programs instead, we're missing our true calling. So I'm grateful to be a part of the show, and I'm looking forward to the final episode on tomorrow.
Yes, we are. Well, thank you. This is your host, Joy Brown, with the Pastors for Punch TV Studio. And you have a lovely day.